Walter Mosley is best known for his hard-boiled detective stories. Each is set in Los Angeles and often reflects the history of black culture. Easy Rollins was the hero of several Mosley books. Mosley's current thriller, Fearless Jones, is about Paris Minton and the dangerous troubles that fall his way in Watts. Walter Mosley's characters search for truth. That search is at the heart of Mosley's Choice today, as NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg concludes her conversations with authors about their favorite works.
Walter Mosley picks a poem, not a novel, Four Quartets by T.S. Eliot. Four Quartets, considered Eliot's greatest poem, it's also his last one, the four parts published in 1943. Eliot spent his remaining two decades writing literary criticism and plays. Novelist Walter Mosley.
The Four Quartets, I think, is some of the strongest language that I've read, really. Some of the most powerful and evocative language. And also there's some ideas buried in it. I don't pretend to understand the Four Quartets completely, but there are some ideas and some feelings and some descriptions that are buried in it that I think are so beautiful that it makes me happy to read them.
Give an example of language that you particularly love. Read something to us.
All right, I'll read you. There's a little rhyming poem that starts the second section of the first poem, which is Burnt Norton. Garlic and sapphires in the mud clot the bedded axle tree. The trilling wire in the blood sings below inveterate scars, appeasing long-forgotten wars.
Oh, the rhythm is wonderful, isn't it? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I like that idea of garlic and sapphires already. It's telling you these are strange juxtapositions. This world is a little askew.
Well, it's making them in a funny way, but sapphires, you know, are flowers. So there's a certain there's a certain flower, but you think, when you read it, the first time I read it, certainly I thought they were like jewels in
Me
the mud,
too.
But no.
Well, I have to tell you that I remember reading this, Four Quartets by T.S. Eliot, in college and loving it, but not having a clue about what it meant.
Well, I won't go so far as to say I don't have a clue. But these poems were published in the middle of the war, and so there's a great darkness descending upon England and many of the writers of England at that time. He's trying to place himself in life, in time, and in art. And he finds it so difficult because there is nothing to hold on to. There is no future. There is no past. The present is defined only by how you feel at that moment. And who you are today is not who you wish to be. And then he talks about these other things, things that we can't deal with. Things like when he talks about the river being a brown god and us being afraid of it and fighting it until we build bridges and we can go over it. And then we kind of forget it.
Yeah, that river business is at the beginning of the section called The Dry Salvages. Read it, please, will you? It's wonderful writing.
I do not know much about gods, but I think that the river is a strong, brown god, sullen, untamed, and intractable, patient to some degree, at first recognized as a frontier, useful, untrustworthy as a conveyor of commerce, then only a problem confronting the builder of bridges. The problem once solved, the brown god is almost forgotten by the dwellers in the cities, ever, however, implacable, keeping his seasons and rages, destroyer, reminder of what men choose to forget, unhonored, unpropitiated by worshippers of the machine, but waiting, watching, and waiting.
Why is this so important to you, Walter Mosley? To what extent has this influenced your own writing, the work that you do?
What I think about the world and how it exists, how it seems to me, how impossible it is to be alive or to be perceiving the world or to understand that world or to make a stand in the world and say, this I'm sure of, that I really get from the Four Quartets. And I think the strongest part of that, I think, for me, is the beginning of the first poem, and maybe I could read those few lines to you.
Mm-hmm.
Time present and time past are both perhaps present and time future, and time future contained in time past. If all time is eternally present, all time is unredeemable. What might have been is an abstraction, remaining a perpetual possibility only in a world of speculation. What might have been and what has been point to one end, which is always present. Footfalls echo in the memory down the passage we did not take toward the door we never opened into a rose garden. My words echo thus in your mind, but to what purpose, disturbing the dust on the bowl of rose leaves, I do not know.
Hmm.
Just the idea that the stronger our voice is, the stronger our perception is, the more clearly we see things, the more we know that we can't possibly understand them, that we're in a way stuck in time, and that there's something beyond time that we see but we can't express.
Hmm. But he really is a writer of despair as well, Eliot is. He says, I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope. Now, I think about your own writing, Mr. Mosley, and your reluctant detectives are, they're very serious men, and they know a lot about the rough world in which, and often racist world in which they live. But I don't read them as characters of despair, as men who live without hope.
No, I don't think that you would ever confuse E.Z. Rawlins or Paris Minton with T.S. Eliot. And I don't think that you want to. I'm not even sure these people would get along in the real world. But that's neither here nor there. I think that Eliot has caught the notion that here we are, we're mortal, we're getting older, our lives, our minds, our memories, everything fall apart in time. And this is a truth. And everybody knows it. My characters may not be dominated by that knowledge, but they have that knowledge. You know, they understand the sorrow, especially E.Z. Rawlins, the melancholy that comes about in life. You know, the impossibility of love or a certain kind of love, the impossibility of him to put himself in a position to, you know, to get satisfaction from something like, let's say, revenge. So I think that there are echoes in it. But of course, the greatest thing, the strongest thing, the most beautiful thing about Eliot is his language. And where he comes together with any detective is that he's trying to locate a truth and trying to figure out a structure and a system and a way that he can get to the truth. And that's why he comes up with all this Eastern stuff, you know, Buddhism and Krishna and some mystical Catholicism in these poems. I think that the thing is that you give up hope in order to find hope, not to be hopeless.
Walter Mosley discussing his favorite writing, T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets. 5 years after it was published, Eliot received the Nobel Prize for Literature. Now, in case you are not up to hauling your complete works of T.S. Eliot to the beach this summer, for fun, Walter Mosley says he is rereading Ross MacDonald's mystery, The Moving Target. Mosley's new mystery is called Fearless Jones. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.